All right. So there's a reason that we sang that song tonight, There is Joy in the Lord, because if you had a chance to go through the homework at all, you know that a good portion of it was about joy and the joy that there is in the Lord. And I'm actually going to expound on joy tonight. And I don't know how many of you get the days of praise, but December 1st, the very first one of this issue, is called Proof in the Pudding. And it says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. 1 John 2:29. And the whole thing is out of 1 John. And I just thought it was a great little devotion and very fitting considering that we're studying 1 John. And it says, the little book of 1 John provides a treasure trove of proofs that demonstrate the reality of the invisible spiritual change brought about by the new birth. There are two emphases, proofs based on personal experience and proofs based on intellectual awareness. Here is a short list of proofs we experience. Obedience to God's commands, 1 John 2, 2 through 5. Experience of God in our lives, 1 John 2, 13 and 14. Obvious antichrist in the world, 1 John 2, 18. Worldly ignorance of Christianity, 1 John 3, 1. Sinner's ignorance of righteousness, 1 John 3, 6. Our love for fellow Christians, 1 John 3, 16 and through 18. And, of course, we also focus on fellowship in our study this week. The indwelling Holy Spirit, 1 John 4, 13. Our love for godly behavior, 1 John 5, 2. And then there are proofs that have intellectual confidence, that we can have intellectual confidence in as well. The Holy Spirit's anointing, 1 John 2:20. The holiness of Jesus Christ, 1 John 2:29. The Father's love for us, 1 John 3:1. Our eternal bodies, to be like Christ, 1 John 3:2. Hating a brother is like murder, 1 John 3:15. Scripture's message of eternal life, 1 John 5:13, assurance that we belong to God, 1 John 5:19, and assurance that Christ has come, 1 John 5:20. These evidences are primarily for the believer, that is, they are intended to assure the believer's heart and mind of his security in Christ. John's list is not intended to be complete, but only a focus of our thoughts on the obvious. When you count your blessings, remember these. And it makes me think also of, as last time we met, we went through the book of John and looked at some of the things that John saw and heard and touched when he was with him, and what he wants us, and he brings out in 1 John that he wants us to know. And his very last statement in the book of John is, I haven't written everything about Jesus, because if I did, the world couldn't even contain it. There's so much about him. And that's how much John wants us to know about this Jesus whom he saw and he touched and he spent time with. The world couldn't even contain it all if he wrote it all down. And so I just thought that was very fitting that the Days of Praise had that in there. So you can check that out if you get that. But again, tonight we're going to focus on joy, which our lesson did a good portion of it. And that's primarily based on 1 John 1:4, where it says, these things I write to you, that your joy may be full. And so I want to look a little bit at the who, what, why, where, how of joy. And we're going to begin with who can have joy. And so we're going to travel through Scripture a little bit here. Psalm 5:11 says, let all those that put their trust in thee, speaking of God, speaking of Jesus, who put their trust in thee, rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also who love your name be joyful in you. So those who put their trust in the Lord and those who love his name, they are partakers of this joy that we can have in its fullness, in its entirety, if we trust him and we love his name. Luke 2:10, we're coming upon the Christmas season. Luke 2 is the Christmas story, and the angel, when that comes before the shepherds in the field, tells the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So this joy is available to everyone. God desires that none would perish, but we have a choice to make. It's available to everybody. This joy, this fullness of joy, is there for the taking if we will trust Him and we will love His name. So those are some examples of who can have this joy that John is talking about. We're going to spend more length in where can we find this joy that can just be so full. And again, we talked about this in our very first lesson, that this joy is different from happiness. It's a gladness of heart. It's a peace in our heart. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be like, "Ooh, yahoo, this is wonderful." But it's that gladness of heart in our Savior and that peace that we have because we do trust Him in all circumstances. So where can we find this joy? Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." So if we are on the path of life that follows Jesus, if we are in His presence, and the only way to be in His presence is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, being obedient to Him, there is our pleasures forevermore. So it's in His presence, it's on His path where we can have this joy. Psalm 21:1 says, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall we rejoice." And so there's joy in the Lord's strength. And how many times do we hear, "When I am weak, He is strong"? So it's the Lord's strength, in the Lord's strength, that we can have joy. "And in your salvation, how greatly shall He rejoice." There is joy in our salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. And here are some other scriptures that confirm that there is joy in salvation. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Talking about Jesus, it's your salvation that you offer to me. And sometimes we can veer from that. We can drift away. We can backslide. We can get busy with other things, and that joy gets stripped from us. But we can always come to Him and say, "Restore that joy when it's missing." And it's in salvation. It's in knowing that we're secure in Him. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." So there is joy in our salvation. In Luke, and I have to turn there, I didn't write these ones down. Luke 1, says, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at His birth." And so there is joy and, oh, I'm sorry, this goes back up to being in Jesus' presence. It says, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at His birth." So when Jesus was born, and remember, John stresses in 1 John that we must believe that Jesus came in the flesh, and that is a telling sign of whether a teaching is a true teaching or whether it is a false teaching, is do they believe that Jesus came in the flesh? And right here it says that many will rejoice at His birth, and we can have joy in knowing that He came and we could be in His presence. And Luke 1:44 says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting," this is when Mary went to Elizabeth, and Jesus was in Mary's womb, and John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb. As soon as Mary was in the presence of Elizabeth, what happened? John leapt in Elizabeth's womb. It says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb." For what? For joy. Because John the Baptist was in the presence of the Lord. And there was great joy, even in the womb, because he was in the presence. So, sorry for skipping around there. But there is joy in the presence of the Lord. And there is joy in the Lord's salvation. There is joy in good counsel. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good it is." So if you find good counsel, if the Lord has given you a word for somebody and you speak that word to somebody, it can bring joy. There is joy in a humble spirit and humility. Isaiah 29:19 says, "The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord." So we should be walking in humility, and that brings joy. Pride, there's not a whole lot of joy in that, because we're always striving to be the best, or to put on a good face for people, or to do better than somebody, and that rarely ever feels good. But when we're humble and we take that low position, that's when that joy can be there. So, in humility, there is joy in God's word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." So God's word, Jeremiah chewed it up, he gobbled it, he ate it. And what does it say about Jesus? He's the bread of life, right? And he is the word. And it says, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me joy and rejoicing in my heart." And where does that joy come from? It's in our heart. It's fullness of joy. It's that gladness in our Lord and Savior. So it's in God's word. John 15:11 said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So again, God's word spoken. There's joy in God's word. And it's a fullness of joy, and that it can remain in us. And when? So we've looked at who can have this joy. Where can we find this joy? When is this joy available to us? And this is the part that sometimes is difficult for us, because as we look at these scriptures, joy doesn't necessarily come from the easy times in our lives. Joy comes through the difficulties in our lives. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And so here we're talking about God's wrath, God's anger being poured out, but it's short. Well, when you're being disciplined, it's not a pleasant thing, but it may bring weeping, or there may be hard things that come into our life where there's difficulty, where we're going to have those times where we can't help but cry. Somebody might be sick. Somebody might have left this earth to go be with our Savior, or a tragedy or something where there's weeping. But joy follows those times of weeping. Psalm 126:5 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." The outcome of those hard times where you can't help but cry is joy in the long run. I've had people give me this verse several times as I've gone through difficulties in my life with different children, and hard things that we've gone through, where I just cry because I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end, and It's a struggle, and I just weep, and I weep, and then I'll have a dear friend of mine, she'll call, and she'll say, what you're sowing in tears right now, you're going to reap in joy. And I'll tell you, with one of my children, who I cried many tears over, she's my joy today, as I see how she's matured into an incredible young lady. I find a lot of joy in her today. And so hardness, our hard times, are followed again by joy. Habakkuk 3:18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation." And this is coming from, is following a section of Scripture where saying there may be no fruit on the vine. So it's talking about hard times in life. There's no food. There's no provision at this time. Finances might be tight. You might not know where your next meal is coming from. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. Again, there is joy in our salvation no matter what our circumstances are. Our circumstances may try to steal our joy. The enemy may try to steal our joy because of our circumstances. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord, if we keep our eyes on our salvation and we are working out our salvation, that joy is there and available for us. James 1:2-4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." What? There's joy in trials? Well, there is. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the reason we can have joy in our trials is because it's working something in us. It's working patience in us. It's pushing out the areas that don't belong in our life. Often in our trials, we realize, ooh, there's some ugliness still in this heart that needs to be chipped out and gotten rid of. I'm not as patient as I thought I was. And so he's working that patience in us. He's perfecting us. He's completing us. And when he's done that work, we lack nothing. We have that fullness of joy. So we can be thankful and we can have joy even in our trials. So that's the who, where, when. And now let's look a little bit at how do we get this joy? Where does it come from? Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight." How are we good in his sight? Only through Jesus Christ. Because the word tells us no one is good, no, not one. And the only way that we could look good in God's eyes and his sight is because we have Jesus in our heart. But God will give, if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, then he gives us wisdom and knowledge and joy. Do you not know what to do in a situation? Go to God and ask him. He's going to give you wisdom. Don't know what to do? Go to God. He's going to give you knowledge. Have you lost your joy? Go to him. Ask him. And he's going to give it to you. God gives, it says. Matthew 25:21-23 say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." It is the Lord's joy that is given to us. And in this, why? Because we're faithful to do what he asks us to do. And at this point, it says, "You were faithful in little things." So it's the little things he asks us to do, to be faithful in. And there's joy in that. And it's his joy. John 16:24, "Until now you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." How do we get this joy? We need to ask. If you're lacking it, ask for it, and you will receive, it says. Acts 2:28, "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." So again, This joy is available to us if we are in His presence. So how do we get it? By being with Him, spending time with Him, being in His Word, praying, being in fellowship with others, talking about Him. What is He doing in your life? I don't know. When I talk to others and they share about what the Lord's doing, what the Lord's showing, how He's worked out a situation, how He's healed somebody, how He's changed somebody, I don't know about you, but that brings me great joy. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So it's the God of hope who will fill you with joy. Do you hope in God and what He's doing in your life, what He's going to do in your life and in eternity that you're going to spend with Him? There's joy in that and peace in believing. Do you believe it? Do you read His Word and believe His Word? There's joy in that. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do we get it? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you need the Holy Spirit, we all need it daily to be filled by Him. You go back to John 16:24, and you ask for it, and He's going to give it to you. And so in summary, who can have this joy? Anybody who puts their trust in Jesus as their Savior. Where can you find it? In His presence, in His salvation, in good counsel, in humility, in God's Word. When can you get it? Most of the time, through the trials that come into your life, through the circumstances that He allows in your life to mold you and shape you more into His image. And how do we get it? By asking, and God is graciously going to give it to us. And then I want to look at one example of Jesus. And what was Jesus's joy? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. Jesus' joy was coming here in the flesh to take our sin upon Himself, to have victory over our sin, to raise from the dead, putting that plan of salvation, which we can have joy in, that was His joy. And so we can look unto Him to gain joy as well, and what brought Him joy. And in closing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" Isn't our joy in the Lord? So again, if you are struggling, if you don't feel like you have much hope or much joy or much rejoicing in your life, get in His presence. Get in the Word. Fellowship with others. Get to church. Spend time with Him. That your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this joy that is available to us, Lord. And if we have lost our joy, Lord, we pray that You would restore it unto us, Lord. The joy of our salvation, Lord, that You would continue helping us to work that out, Lord, and that we would be seeking You early in the morning, Lord, that You would be the meditation of our hearts, Lord, that we would want to be in Your presence, Lord, that we would ask You for this joy, Lord, that we would ask You to daily be filling us with Your Spirit, because we know that it is one of Your fruits, Lord, and so would You continue just pouring into our lives, Lord, changing us and molding us and shaping us more into You, into Your image, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.